As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Everybody, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Wednesday, December 23rd is the day. We are getting ready for Week 16 Fantasy Football Championship Week. If you are listening to this, you either love us, which thank you very much, and or you are playing for a fantasy football championship. So congratulations. We welcome you in. We are going to get you right ready for these Week 16 matchups. I'm Michael Beller, joined, of course, by... Let's go to Brandon Funston first, joined by Brandon Funston. What's up, Brandon?
Oh, I'm not getting ready for anything, Michael. I'm just turning in my one-and-done lineups until the end of the year, and then, I'm going to sleep for a little while.
Yeah, there you go. Getting ready for a well-deserved holiday rest after this right. week. That is absolutely for sure. And Jake Seeley. Jake, what's going on?
Yeah, so they're either tuning in also to see if we're going to talk about the ridiculous rage that everybody has before calling In-N-Out overrated in my rankings. But on
oh,
top of that,
man,
Jake, I am 1,000% behind you on that.
I am 10,000% behind you on that.
Thank you. It's
we are in
good.
Complete agreement.
It's good. Let's get that good. Out of the way. Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's not what everybody makes it out to be, and here's my biggest problem, is you can't F up the fries, and you F up the fries. Like,
yes.
The fact that people tell you, like, no, you have to get them double cooked and with the sauce and with the... No! Make the fries like a normal person.
Why is it incumbent upon me to tell you to how to cook your own food, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, actually, I have 3 championships potentially on the line, so I'm still hanging on. I mean, that's
I am right there with you.
9, 10? Who the hell knows?
Hey, man, 3 championships.
Do your intro. Apparently Barkley needs to pee. Do your intro.
Well, I'm in 3 championships myself as well, as we talked about on Monday. And actually, even though I give Brandon a very hard time for playing a league that goes into Week 17, I'm in one league also that goes into Week 17. Split it with my friend. Shout out Jay Rupert. And we are in the semifinals of that league as well. It's an IDP league too, so all sorts of different ways to play fantasy football, as we are finding out in this 2020 season. We're here to help you get ready for Week 16. We've got a streamlined ranking show for you here on this Week 16 Wednesday, really focusing on those guys who you really might just be having a tough time figuring out, do I start, do I sit? And we start at the quarterback position. The first person who I want to bring up, we're going to go to you first here, Brandon, is Drew Brees. The Saints playing on Christmas Day. It's the first game of the week, Friday, against the Minnesota Vikings. These teams have had a couple of recent meetings that seem to just always go the Vikings' way, those being in the playoffs. This one coming in the regular season. Drew Brees had to shake off a little bit of rust in the first half against the Chiefs last week, but Brandon ultimately got to 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. What's your confidence level with him against the Vikings in this game?
Well, he's just a floor play. You look at what he's done on the year, and he is, at least in Yahoo scoring among quarterbacks who've played 10 games, he is QB 11. And now, but if you look at any individual week, I did this this morning. He has not finished higher than QB 9 in any individual week, which is really crazy. It just shows you kind of, he is a floor, not a ceiling quarterback at this point. If you want to get, 250, 240 yards and multiple touchdowns and, you know, nothing most likely on the ground. That's what you're getting. And I ranked him kind of accordingly this week. He's a very back end QB or QB one for me. But he's like, I think he's at number 12 or 11 right now, kind of where he's been all year. And the matchup's not leading me away from it. It's just that he's not the kind of quarterback you look at a matchup and go, oh, you know what? He's going off. He's going ham. This, I mean, you're going to get kind of just solid production from Drew Brees.
Yeah, and plenty of fantasy managers definitely can live with that out of their quarterback in this week 16 matchup. Of course, you already know this, but no Michael Thomas. He's on IR. He'll be back for this team in the playoffs.
What a another weird team season.
That we for yeah. Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Totally bizarre, right? And he's going to be that's I mean just... I think we should be he should be back in the first round next year, back end first round. I mean, I still think he's in the Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf. He's in that group of receivers, what a weird season.
Is he automatically though? I mean, is it who's the quarterback in New Orleans?
I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, yeah. if it's Jameis, I still feel pretty good about him.
Yeah, if it's Jameis, I might take him as the third wide receiver and only Adams and Hill in front of him.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Jake got him at wide receiver 5 overall in our mock, our way too early mock draft that we just recently did. And that was kind of sort of late second round.
So, yeah, it felt like a good value to me. I think he's going to be in that conversation. But that was what Brandon just said was going to be my same question. Is it Breeze? Question mark. And I think that's going to be up in the air. And I think, Beller, I think some people might just be ticked off. We talk about this all year. He's not last year's trash as in like he disappointed completely as in like a sixth rounder, but he's going to be, you're going to get people who are like, I'm not going back to him. I have somebody in my home league. Like this is the first time I ever had Julio, never drafting him again. Like that's just, you get some people like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's an opportunity for the rest of the league to prey on someone's preconceived notions or not wanting to go back to what burned them the year before. But that doesn't mean that's necessarily going to carry over into the succeeding season. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield here, Jake, a guy who has had now 4 straight really strong games. I think you could say that these 4 games in a row that he's put up, maybe the best football we've seen him play as a pro. The game that stands out most is not necessarily the 4 touchdown game against Tennessee, but the 343-yard 2 touchdown game he had against a tougher Ravens defense the week after that, almost getting a huge win for the Browns. Crazy that this team could be 10-4 and still fighting for a playoff berth, but a great matchup with the Jets. How good do you feel about Baker Mayfield in this one?
How good? I mean,
how so good?
I feel, I'd say like an 8 out of 10. I'm not going to put the full 10 or
good.
Feel. Yeah, yeah. I feel pretty good. Mostly just because I think we said this on the waiver show. I don't remember if I did. And there's so many podcasts at this time of the year that it's also my brain's mush when it comes to remembering those kind of things. To the point I was going to say of kind of like the Kirk Cousins. Like there's always the chance it goes wrong because it's Baker Mayfield. But at this point, as you mentioned, yeah, because it was. You brought up the fact that it was 2 touchdowns in the last 4 games. And, you know, even that game against Jacksonville, I think if you're saying 18 points is a floor, you have to feel pretty good. I scoffed at the thought that he's going to be better without Odell Beckham because it's like, how do you take an elite talent away and you're better? And I said in that same sentence, the people who were saying that, if that's true, even if it works out, which it has, I still put some of that on Baker. Like, just because you were so focused on Odell Beckham, that's kind of you. Like, I don't know if you're like a person. Yeah. Like, you should not have an elite talent taken away from you and be better. So, but the truth is, he is. He's more comfortable. He's more relaxed. He's not throwing forced targets to Odell Beckham. He's seeing what's open. He's playing more like he did before Odell Beckham got there. So it's true. It did work out. And then, you know, hey, you got to play him at this point. And it's a great matchup to continue the rest of his season. It's arguably a top 5 matchup this week.
Yeah, got to feel pretty good about Baker Mayfield keeping things rolling. Someone who I don't know if any of us feel good about. I know I don't. I know from Jake's rankings column that he doesn't feel good about him, at least compared with the consensus rank. And Brandon, I'm wondering where you are on Jared Goff this week. Up in your neck of the woods, a big game in the NFC West, Rams at Seahawks. The consensus ranking on Jared Goff for this week right now says at 15. Jake's got him down at 19. Where do you have him, Brandon?
I am at 18, so I'm kind of right there. I give him a little bit higher of a nod because he knows Seattle. I think he's had 5 straight games of 293 yards or more. The other 4 games were all over 300. I mean, these teams know each other. You look at Goff, he's had 1 or 0 touchdown passes in 5 of the last 7 games. There's been a lot of bad games out there. You know, last week he was sacked 3 times. He's not great typically under pressure, and Seattle's getting a lot more pressure, and this is a huge game, and you, if you have Jared Goff, you probably, you know, you should be a little bit worried about if we've seen Jared Goff wilt under pressure in Seattle a few times, so you got to maybe fear the deer in the headlights look from him every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I do think that ranking him at 18 is right. I think he's going to get there. I think the yards will probably help push him there. Maybe gets one or two touchdown passes, but I think he'll be serviceable. I just don't know if he's a guy I want to put my fantasy championships on the line for.
That's why I laughed, totally, Brandon, either. Is because when you said if you have Jared Goff, I was going to say you're probably not in the championship.
Right,
what happened
exactly.
The past 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a guy that you probably want to find your way away from. Super flex leagues, maybe a different story, but 1QB leagues, Jared Goff, definitely a risky proposition in Seattle this weekend. Last quarterback to talk about here, Matt Ryan, going up against the Chiefs. Yeah, I got to say, guys, Matt Ryan impressed last week. We are often talking about how he is generally a fade when he is playing without Julio Jones, as he was a week ago. Put up a huge game against the Buccaneers. Did way more damage in the first half than he did in the second, but you don't really care when the damage comes in the 60 minutes, so long as it does, and it did for Matt Ryan. Could be without Julio Jones again this week, Jake, so where do you grade him in this matchup with the Chiefs?
Yeah, but if you also remember to go back a bunch of weeks, and this isn't a victory lap situation, it's just the pointing out the fact that what I said to you guys is it's not Julio, it was more the teams that he faced, and that if you go back to previous games with Julio Jones not this year and not facing a team like Chicago or facing, you know, Jair Alexander, or, and the fact that the Panthers' pass defense was middle of the road at that time of the season, it's actually gotten worse. But it's, you know, opponents coming to play too. You know, the Chargers decent at times, and it's just. My point was the correlation is just not like some people make out there to be like, well, Kirk Cousins is better at home. Well, yeah, that's noise. Home road splits are usually noise because a lot of it's also who are you facing. So I'm not saying Matt Ryan's 100% always Matt Ryan without Julio Jones. He is, to go back to the Baker comparison, he is somebody you take Julio Jones away. It's going to affect him, but not to the level people were making out to be is all I'm saying. So that's why I'm confident Matt Ryan, you just saw 356 and 3 against Tampa Bay. Another nice matchup for him this week. Calvin Ridley's been a top five wide receiver without Julio Jones, and Russell Gage has stepped up. That's my only concern, is that Russell Gage has the tougher matchup of the two. Kansas City's defense also hasn't been as great in the second half of the season, similar to the Indianapolis Colts, but it's still somewhat concerning. So you just hope that Matt Ryan can keep track, go with Patrick. I mean, this should be a shootout, honestly, on paper. Patrick Mahomes should not be turning to Le'Veon Bell too much, and the Falcons' backfield is beyond miserable.
All right, I want to wrap it up with one last question. We've got this at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Who's the quarterback who's going to lead people to championships? The guy who, if he's on your team, no matter who it is, no matter who you're playing against, and obviously it's not going to be totally clean like that, but who are people going to be toasting on Monday when they wake up saying, this guy won me the championship at the quarterback position? Who you got, Brandon?
Well, I'm not sure which way you want me to go with a deeper pull.
It could be anyone. It could be Patrick Mahomes for all I care.
Look, I got Aaron. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to, you know, he's had bad games before where he's been upset and come back and absolutely scorched earth. I think he could do that. I have him ranked number two this week against Tennessee. And then I would say Jalen Hurts as a deeper pull. I mean, if you've ridden him the last couple of weeks, you're not stopping against the Dallas Cowboys. So I have both of those guys in my top five.
Well, then I'll go with the one that I have one spot in front of, Jalen Hurts, and the fact that everybody a couple of weeks ago was, should I trade or should I do this or whatever? Have you seen the end of the year schedule? And Josh Allen, I don't care, it's the Patriots. I don't care who he faces, period, done, no matter what. He could face two Patriots defenses at the same time. Josh Allen got you here. Josh Allen's bringing you championships. And Josh Allen's name should be there with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in the MVP discussion, but his name isn't Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, and nobody talks about him.
God, wouldn't you just love to have Josh Allen in two leagues where you're playing in the championship? And wouldn't you love one of those to be a super flex league where you're also starting Jalen Hurts? I know one of the three of us on this show
that's very specific.
Very specific. Got to put a fine point on it as we wrap up the quarterback position.
On the flip side, Beller, I would tell you what, Russell Wilson will not be bringing anybody championships.
Yes, I agree with you there. Down at 17 in your rankings, Jake. And just
I didn't even like
really
him that high.
Yeah, it's been a tough run of things. Crazy how things have changed from where we were early in the season with Russell Wilson to where we are now. But I think that's fair. Brandon, really quick, Russell Wilson, what's your take on him this week?
I am at 14, as low as I can remember ever ranking him. And yeah, no Push Josh Gordon, no Josh Gordon to the rescue, unfortunately.
No Josh.
Poor
Gordon
Josh.
Great, right here. Here we are, week 16 championship week. You've got Jalen Hurts as the QB6 for Jake, Tua Tagovailoa as the QB15, Mitch Trubisky as the QB12, Baker Mayfield as the QB11, Justin Herbert the QB9, and down at QB17, Russell Wilson. That is a topsy-turvy season if we have ever seen one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right, guys, running back time now, and let's start with one of our Saturday games. 49ers and Cardinals getting together. Cardinals can clinch a playoff berth if they win and the Bears lose to the Jaguars, so a lot at stake for those Arizona Cardinals in this one. And Jeff Wilson looking like he is going to get himself another start. Raheem Mostert placed on IR. Jake, we've seen Kyle Shanahan trust Jeff Wilson, or at least lean on Jeff Wilson. Without Mostert, he has carved out a role alongside Mostert. It can never be super easy, cut and dried, I know, with Kyle Shanahan, but it feels like if you've got Jeff Wilson, you got to start him.
You do have to start him, and not surprisingly, the person I'm getting the most questions about is Jeff Wilson, because I have him at RB14 and half PPR, one spot in front of Melvin Gordon, two in front of McKissick, and then in front of Fournette and David Johnson. But look at the names behind him. You're talking about split backfield. I do like Melvin Gordon this week, but still sharing with Philip Lindsay, even though he looks broken at this point. JD McKissick has been great matchup, and I actually like him a lot this week. He's safer, honestly, and that's what it comes down to. Leonard Fournette, ugh, okay, you want LeGarrette Blount, that's who you're getting. But those guys are safer because what you just said, Kyle Shanahan could screw us all over. At the championship game time, if you don't want to risk that, I have no problem not playing Jeff Wilson, because if Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon somehow got a combined 25 touches, it would not shock me or anybody, or maybe even Juszczyk gets 5 and a reception touchdown. Like, that's just what Shanahan does. But Mostert's out. You got to roll with it if you got to roll with it. If you got Jeff Wilson, that's where I would play him. I understand if you don't want to get involved.
Next guy I've got in our sheet, Brandon, is really just an opportunity for you to take a little bit of a victory lap. You know, Jake always says, this isn't a victory lap, but here's when I was right a couple of weeks ago. It's not a victory lap, but, you know, I was right about this when I said this a couple of weeks ago. So I thought we would give you an opportunity here. Melvin Gordon gave you a couple of touchdowns last week. He gave you a 130-yard game a couple of weeks before that, a 2-touchdown game a couple of weeks before that. And you've been the Melvin Gordon is underappreciated guy on this podcast really all season. A matchup with the Chargers here in week 16. So another opportunity for a revenge game for Melvin Gordon. But I guess just take that victory lap and run it around here.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. I don't want to come across as the Melvin Gordon champion here. I just always felt like, look, they brought him in, they paid him money. You don't pay running backs money very often in free agency anymore, and that he was going to always have his opportunities. And yeah, Philip Lindsay, if Philip Lindsay's 100%, and there's no contracts hanging over either one of them that mattered, like, I would be a lot more worried about Melvin Gordon. But he's, you know, he's been solid throughout the year. I think he's like RB13 now on the year in total points scored. And I kind of have him ranked similarly for this week. The matchup's not terrible against the Chargers. You know, as Jake said, Philip Lindsay is looking broken. Melvin Gordon has touched the ball 15 times in each of the last three games. You get 15 touches against the Chargers, I mean, I think he's going to be a solid RB2. Give him a good chance to find the end zone. I have him ranked at 15th for this week. So, you'd have to have first world problems to, you know, have a decision where you might not put Melvin Gordon in your lineup this week.
Yeah, what a turnaround, I guess, for him in the back half of the season, getting that backfield to himself and really just taking care of business for fantasy owners. Jake, you said Jeff Wilson's the guy who's been giving you the most questions this week. Where's J.D. McKissic at on that? Is that someone you're getting questions on, or is that something that anecdotally you're finding people are just straight up trusting him in their starting lineups after what we've seen from him the last 2 weeks?
There's still a few, but not that many. Just, you know, the fact that in PPR, I am as RB1, but the guy just finished as RB4 last week in PPR because he's not only getting the receptions, but he's been the guy. You know, Peyton Barber's always going to potentially steal a touchdown, but he's been getting the majority of the work, that being McKissic on top of it. So my only concern would be if Heineke's at quarterback, but Heineke's also not too dissimilar from Smith and Haskins in the fact that you're not going to see a lot of yards downfield or air yards, whatever number you want to throw out there. So he could check down just as much as anybody to McKissic. The only why I say it might be a concern is because maybe it's like Ryan Finley type of a game where he only attempts 15 passes. So then even if he is checking down, now you're just limiting the potential receptions for McKissic. So that'd be my only concern. But if Alex Smith is back out there, I think you would have to say McKissic's a borderline RB1 again.
Two of the last three games, McKissic's given you 10 targets, caught all of them in one, 9 of them in the other. And you said it, right? I mean, the fact that he has been the lead guy on the ground as well has really just pushed him over the top and made him an easy guy to get into your championship week lineups. One guy who is now in the discussion really for the first time all season, or at least the first time since he left the Jets, is Le'Veon Bell with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out. Le'Veon Bell seemingly takes over as the lead back for the Chiefs against the Falcons. Brandon, we're sort of flying blind here because I don't think any of us would be surprised if Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy decided to mix and match at the running back position even more this week than we've already seen from them all season long. But Le'Veon feels like a guy who at least should be in this RB2 mix this week, correct?
I have him in the very, very back end, and it's only because he's in, you know, he's in the lead running back of the most vaunted offense in the league. But that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. You look at it, the Chiefs are 24th in running back rush attempts and 23rd in running back receptions. Like, they don't lean on the backfield that much, and that was with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and now you get Le'Veon Bell. And tell me, how many times since Le'Veon Bell's been on the Chiefs have you watched a Chiefs game and went, wow, when Le'Veon Bell did something? You know, like,
zero,
he's not doing – he looks like he's just a guy right now. I mean, he doesn't look anything special at all. So I'm ranking him, like – where I would rank Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but a few spots below that because he's just not as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point.
You know who looks like he has more burst at this point? Alfred Morris.
Yeah. I mean, it's what it is. So it's like one of those fill-ins, like a Peyton Barber or Alfred Morris kind of fill-in. You know,
he's kind of villain at first.
Well.
Depends on who you ask.
He's played the role of villain in the past as well. So.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I think that's an appropriate spot for him. You're really betting on the Chiefs more so than betting on Le'Veon Bell. Someone who we bet against because of his team was Giovanni Bernard over the last few weeks, and it's been a winning bet until week 15 when he came through with 83 yards on the ground, caught one pass, turned that pass into a touchdown reception, scored on the ground as well. The efficiency wasn't great. 26 touches got you to 97 yards from scrimmage, but the two touchdowns, those were great. This could be a high-scoring game between the Bengals and the Texans, just a couple of bad defenses that you can really get after. What we know, Deshaun Watson's going to have the foot on the gas and force Cincinnati to try to do the same. Jake, do you feel comfortable going back to Giovanni Bernard in this one?
I mean, it's semi-comfortable. A lot of it has to do with the matchup, too. I don't expect 20-plus touches for them. I don't expect them to be grinding at the clock and with the lead being the Bengals at this point. Like, that was just wildly unexpected. And a lot to do with Ben Roethlisberger's arm being 10-time burnt over toast. But if you look at it since week 6, the low game is 11.4, and the second lowest to that is 15.5 against the Texans. And that 11.4 was Damian Harris, who doesn't get involved in the passing game, and only had 11 carries to get his 11.4. It was 11 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown. You have multiple 100-yard games against them. James Robinson missed a 100-yard game by one. Multiple receiving games going into the 40s and 50s for receiving yards. So, yeah, if he doesn't get 20 touches, that's fine. If you give me 15 for Gio, I still think he finishes as an RB2, and that's where I have him. I have a low-end RB2. He's risky because who knows what the benching was going on, but this matchup is almost as good as you can get.
All right, Brandon, our resident Seahawks versus Rams expert. Any Seahawks versus Rams question is going to you, and we've got another one here at running back, unfortunately. Cam Akers not going to be playing in this game because of the ankle injury he suffered a week ago. So we are back to the early season. Is it Daryl Henderson? Is it Malcolm Brown? What sort of combination of both are we going to get? And then can you trust Daryl Henderson as the leader of whatever that combination looks like? So that's the question to you, Brandon. Can you feel good about getting Daryl Henderson back in there, assuming that he is back atop a two-headed role now with Malcolm Brown?
Yeah, I would assume that. I am assuming that. I know Malcolm Brown's not going to be out of the mix. It's not going to be the complete Daryl Henderson show. It's going back to what we saw early season before they were playing Cam Akers much at all. And it's not a great matchup. Seattle's been good against the run. But like, if I'm going between Daryl Henderson and Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to go Henderson because there's more upside. I've seen the Rams in tough games against good run defenses blow open holes for these guys. So, and I kind of think the way Jared Goff's been playing lately, they might try to, you know, to lean more on the backfield in this game. And I think it's going to be like a contested game. So there's probably going to be a decent amount of carries to be had. So I don't think there's huge upside, but I think, you know, Henderson can get to like 70, 80 yards and maybe find the end zone. I'm giving him a little bit higher ceiling than like a Le'Veon Bell.
Let's wrap things up at the running back position. Jake, who's the running back hero of week 16 fantasy football championships for 2020?
The one who you've recently been riding to get you here, and we waited too long for too many of these running backs, that being rookies, to get you here, but they're finally here. And even against Pittsburgh, well, I mean, look what Giovanni Bernard just did against Pittsburgh. Yes, it took him 26 touches, but Jonathan Taylor won't need 26 touches. He got you here finally, and you can enjoy it in championship week. And you know what? Throw in DeAndre Swift too, even against Tampa.
There you go. On Wisconsin. Go Badgers. Go Jonathan Taylor. Although I actually am playing against him in a championship week this week. So maybe dial it back just a little bit, JT.
Throw in J.K. Dobbins, too. I have him back to back to back. Sorry, Brandon, if those were going to be any. There you go.
No,
rookie,
I mean,
running
there's all
backs,
kinds
finally.
Of guys. I mean, like, you know. You,
oh, there's
you
all could, kinds of guys. He could say Dalvin Cook for crying out loud.
Yeah, or I could say David Montgomery. We talked, you know, We were looking ahead for David Montgomery's schedule for a long time as well, and it came along, and he's delivered. So he's a guy. I mean, look at Savon Ahmed. I haven't heard anything about Myles Gaskin, so Savon Ahmed can get 20 carries against the Raiders, and that's a good matchup. So
see,
there you go.
But I mean, right there, Brandon. So you mocked it earlier, Beller, but that's why I say not a victory lap, because Brandon just kind of threw one in there, and it wasn't. He wasn't trying to. He goes, but we've been saying, look at the schedule for the Bears. When I say it, everybody assumes, and it sounds like it's a victory lap. So I have to say, I'm not taking a victory lap. That's just something we talked about.
Maybe
Brandon,
you're the common denominator here, Jake.
That's what I'm saying. No, look, I'm not taking that away from me. I've said that for the longest time. People like, hey, look, I come off. Let's be clear. I come off like a dick. I'm not trying to say I don't.
It's good that you're self-aware of that.
Yeah. And me and Brandon can assure all you out there that behind the scenes, he's a great guy.
Oh, I'm 100% a heel in wrestling. There's no question about it.
Well, I always rooted for the heels back when I watched WWF.
See,
so maybe that's why we get on so well here.
That's why Roman Reigns is the best right now.
Podcast. There you go. I don't know anything
about Jake's,
him.
When Jake's not answering start sit questions, he's a great guy to hang around with.
Absolutely true. I cannot argue with you on that.
8 months out of the year.
Yeah, there you go. It's just these four surly months. The four surly months could be like your that could be your Christmas story, Jake. That could be your Christmas movie.
By the way, Julio Jones didn't practice.
No practice for Julio. So there we go with Matt Ryan, with Calvin Ridley, and hey, with the guy we're going to talk about in a second. But that's going to do it for us here at the running back position.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, wide receivers now, and I promise we were going to have one more Rams-Seahawks question, so we're going to go back to you on this one, Brandon. Tyler Lockett, I mean, we've talked about him already a few times in this context this season, but this has been, I mean, he has taken his boomer bust ways to new heights this season, and it has been way more bust than we are used to seeing from him. It's hard to sit him down, right? But like, there's got to be an argument for it after he has just gone so cold since that 3-touchdown game, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing if you're this week, you're in your championship game, you have Tyler Lockett, you've either decided to sit him a long time ago, or you've just been just riding it. And you're right. Like, there's the potential for him to spike and have a huge game. And, you know, the 203 touchdown game earlier, he had 100 yards and a touchdown and three touchdowns against Dallas. Like, the overall numbers look good, but if you look at the, you know, what he's bad Amari Cooper back with the Raiders, you know, it's like, it's less spikes and more downs. And so the best you can say about Tyler Lockett is when he's, you know, during this run of being bad, it's been like 5 for 52 kind of bad. Like, is that going to kill you? I mean, is he giving you absolute zeros? No. But, you know, you just the smarter play is to try to not play him, knowing that there is a potential for 100 yards and two touchdowns coming. But more likely than not, as a Seahawks fan, as someone who's watched him a lot, it's more likely to be not.
You know, I'll say this for Tyler Lockett, and I've been someone, I aggressively faded him in draft season. I don't have him anywhere. I've been talking a lot about that. The bust has been coming up way more often, but I look at Jake's rankings. He's got him wide receiver 26, and I look at some of the receivers ahead of him. T.Y. Hilton's one spot in front of him. You got Brandon Cooks at wide receiver 22, Corey Davis at wide receiver 21. Like, I can say all this about Tyler Lockett. When it comes down to it on Sunday, if I actually had him, I don't know if I would have the stones to sit him down for some of those guys just because of what that huge boom potential is tied to Russell Wilson, and we've seen it from Tyler Lockett. So it is just a very tough decision, and one I think we should be talking about here as we lead up to Week 16. Another guy who's putting his managers in a precarious spot, Jake, is Juju Smith-Schuster. We've been talking about this Pittsburgh offense and just what a train wreck it's been. And I mean, is there going to be a team that goes into the playoffs with double-digit wins in NFL history that people are less into than the Pittsburgh Steelers? After what we've seen over these last few weeks, three straight losses, the exclamation point against Cincinnati last week. I mean, how good could you feel about Juju in this matchup with the Colts?
Not at all. And I know that one person out there who had a lead with Juju and Ebron that Field Yates tweeted out doesn't feel good because he's not even playing anymore. Yeah. Because Juju lost him the game. Look, let's be honest about it. The last 5 weeks, and I'm going to give you two numbers. So first of all, last 5 weeks, low of five targets, 5, 9, 10, 7, 6. They're still coming. Let's look at the other side of it. A high of 55 yards. The second highest is 37. Two double-digit scores only because he got touchdowns in those games. There is no way on earth you can trust Juju Smith-Schuster right now. And you're basically, it's the same boat as Tyler Lockett with the lower ceiling. It's just you're hoping he scores. Because if he doesn't, how many times have I said that? They've been using him as a pseudo running back. Hey, run your two-yard route and then go do 8 yards after the catch, which that happened last week and he got negative. So, you know, if you look at it, I don't know that I would even put him in my lineup to risk it. If a full PPR, wide receiver 3, just because he still gets so many targets and the receptions. This is why full PPR is trash, by the way. Juju Smith-Schuster is this year's example of why full PPR is trash.
I don't understand why people are still playing full PPR when half PPR has become so accepted, too. Like, we can still account for receptions being part of the game in a way that does change the bottom line and changes our values on some players without totally throwing things out of whack.
Thank you. How do you tell me that 7 receptions for 28 yards is almost 10 fantasy points? Get the F out of here.
It absolutely shouldn't be. And that's something we've always agreed on, Jake. Full PPR is garbage. Half PPR, I'm totally cool with. Most of the leagues I set up are actually quarter PPR, but, you know, half PPR, something I could absolutely live with. Another thing I could live with, especially with this Julio Jones not practicing Wednesday, is Russell Gage in my lineups here, Brandon. A couple of nice games in a row, 5 grabs for 82 in week 14, 5 for 68 and a touchdown in week 15. We can go back to week 13, 4 for 51 and a touchdown. And that just feels like a guy who, if Julio is out, a relatively easy guy to get in your lineup. If Julio plays, maybe someone who still belongs to the wide receiver 3 discussion. Is that how you look at Russell Gage?
Maybe. I mean, look, I think you're looking at this game, and as Jake mentioned, it should be a shootout, and so you're excited about that. But last week was sort of a shootout against Tampa, and he was 5-68 and a touchdown. That's kind of his ceiling. You look at his year with or without Julio, you're getting like 50 to 80 yards every once in a while. Maybe you get a touchdown, but like going back to Tyler Lockett, who hasn't been very good, but Tyler Lockett's been putting up Russell Gage numbers when he hasn't been very good. Right. And I would play Tyler Lockett over Russell Gage without Julio Jones. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. So I think either way, if Jake's ranking Tyler Lockett 27 this week, you're talking about with or without Julio Jones, he's, you know, outside the top 30. And, yes. You know,
where do you have Gage?
Worked out my rankings.
I have Gage at 38.
So, okay. I was going to say that he's in the thirties regardless, but,
he's around 38 seems about right. Curtis Samuel, Marquise Brown, Claypool, those kind of names. Mm-hmm. Because you're right.
Crazy.
But, hey, Brandon, how would you respond to a question in the waiver column that said that Russell Gage is one of the only remaining good options in the waivers and almost a must-start to the person who said, you know they're playing the Chiefs, right? What would your response be?
Well, first of all, the Chiefs aren't a good matchup for receivers. Second of all, that is very context-dependent on what kind of league you're talking
my
about.
My context was, thank you. I never look at the matchups. I just randomly assign teams to players.
Yeah, they're playing the Chiefs? Who's on that's a football team? What
I never
talking
knew.
About? Oh, man. Well, how about this, Jake? Something you wrote up. One of the players who got the write-up treatment in your Week 16 rankings column is Rashard Higgins, someone who has been taking full advantage of the opportunities presented to him over the last month. So make the argument on his behalf that you made in the column, but do it with your voice instead of your typing abilities.
Hold on. I am taking a victory lap now.
Oh,
I have taken the Rashard Higgins victory lap for the past couple weeks and continue. We even talked about it on the Sunday morning show. And I've been saying, who's the one that covers the Browns for us? And now I'm having a brain fart because I was doing my victory lap.
Zach Jackson.
Thank you. Zach Jackson was saying that when Kadarryl Hodge was coming back, that look for him to potentially take the number one job when healthy because they were using him and they liked his ability. And he kind of did initially, and then he got hurt, and then it opened things back up for Higgins. And Higgins immediately, since that game, has been what we said on Sunday morning was the 1B to Jarvis Landry's 1A. They're both hitting every single week, and they're different wide receivers. Higgins is the outside guy, Landry's the slot guy, but they can both hit. Higgins has been hitting constantly the past 3 weeks. It's another great matchup. If you like Baker Mayfield, you like Landry, you like Higgins. And if you're desperate, Donovan Peoples-Jones even comes into play because he can have some big play and touchdown ability. But if you like Baker, you have to like Rashard Higgins as a top 30 wide receiver who I've been saying for the past 3 weeks, he deserves to be a wide receiver 3. Play him. Play Higgins. He'll get you a championship. There's the answer to your wide receiver 1, but I'll have another one.
I very much like it. 6 for 95 and a touchdown in week 13. 6 for 68 and a touchdown in week 14. 4 for 76 in week 15. No reason to think that Rashard Higgins can't keep it rolling this week against the New York Jets. So we got a couple more receivers who I want to ask you guys about. Brandon, you already hit on Drew Brees for us. Let's go back to you for one more Saints question. Emmanuel Sanders. I really don't know what to think about this team outside of what you said about Brees, a very comfortable floor, probably no ceiling, and Alvin Kamara being one of the top three backs. We didn't see much last week from the passing game until Brees got going in the second half. Without Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, a de facto wide receiver 1. Tre'Quan Smith is on the injury report right now. Is there enough here to talk yourself into Emmanuel Sanders as a starter?
You're giving me all these guys like Tyler Lockett and Russell Gage and Emmanuel Sanders where I feel like, they're 4 for 60 kind of guys. Maybe you get lucky and find the end zone with one of them. I think let's just put them in the context of those three, I would put Sanders in the middle. I would play Tyler Lockett 1 because he has the most upside. Mm-hmm. But I would play Sanders 2 because, as you mentioned, he kind of is de facto 1. I was looking at his red zone targets. He actually gets a decent amount of red zone targets, so give him a decent chance to score against a Minnesota secondary that I think every DB that plays for them has a QB rating in coverage of over 100, except for Cameron Dantzler, who's been in that lineup because of injury. But like, it's a good matchup, and Sanders probably good bet to get like the 4 for 76 he got last week, and there's a decent chance for a touchdown in there. So if you get that, you're doing well.
All right, one more receiver to talk about here, and it's a guy who I just think is an interesting player to talk about. We've talked so much, Jake, about the Tampa Bay receivers since this team signed Antonio Brown. Chris Godwin has had a relatively steady target floor since that Antonio Brown signing, but he's gone relatively quiet over the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, he gave you effectively nothing, just a couple of catches for 25 yards. Last week, 4 for 36, he did save his day with a touchdown, like a 2-yard touchdown, something that he just got in there, but I think you're playing him, but I just feel a little bit worried that we could see another quiet day from him, even in this great matchup with the Lions. I mean, what's the your overall just sort of standing on Chris Godwin coming into this game?
My standing is the same for all three Buccaneers wide receivers. It's going to be Evans, Godwin, and then Antonio Brown. And it's very close for all of them. Initially, when the signing came in, I thought it might be Godwin, Evans, Antonio Brown, to make that clear. But at this point, it's those three, and they're all startable. The one thing that continues to be the truth is Godwin's on the field since Antonio Brown arrived. Godwin's on the field running the most routes of any of them. Mike Evans, just barely behind him, but a higher target share and more touchdown opportunities. Antonio Brown behind all three by a decent gap. He's out there way less than Godwin and Evans is, but his target share is on par with Godwin because when he's out there, Tom Brady loves Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. This is why he's on the team. So they're all playable. You're going to have somebody that might have the down game, but the good news is that the down game might be what you just said about Godwin. It's still 30 and a touchdown. You're still probably getting close, if not double digits. So if you expect Tom Brady to throw for 250 and three touchdowns, all three of them, they probably get one each. I mean, maybe one goes to Gronkowski and the other person gets 80 yards. You're playing all three.
Wouldn't that be nice to spread the love in this holiday weekend? We're going to spread the love one more time at the wide receiver position. Who's the wide receiver hero this guy week? And actually, don't give me like Davante Adams. Give me someone, you know, give me anyone but Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill or DK Metcalf. Who's the wide receiver hero for championship week? I don't know. Brandon, you can go first here.
Let's go with my namesake, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I think what's his floor now? Like 12 targets?
I know you're going to take him. I just had a feeling.
I was hoping Beller was going to throw to me because I knew you were going to take him. I mean, he's the obvious guy.
I was
going to
leave him for you. This is that we've done 16 shows. Well, not 16. We've done 32 shows. And I know you too well at this point. We know each other too well.
Well, yeah. And look, there's so many obvious guys in the top 10 this week. He's the one guy I have in my top 10 wide receivers that maybe, I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal to have him in the top 10 now. Look at the way he's played over the second half of the season. But if you haven't recognized that, then you need to. Ayuk should be a, you know, top 10 consideration at wide receiver this week, and I expect him to continue to roll.
So I will take somebody from the column. How about that? And I'll go deeper. So Marvin Jones. Three single-digit scores since week six, and even in those, the floor was 7 points. One of those was against Jair Alexander, who we all said fade and worry about. But, you know, Matthew Stafford out there, and we're talking about this opportunity for this game on both sides. If we expect Matthew Stafford, which, by the way, kudos to Matthew Stafford. Like, you want to get a player that other players want to play for? This dude is just broken and going out there and like, screw it, I'm playing. We're going out there. I'm going to try and win this game. I don't even care. Like, Matthew Stafford's like a man's man, obviously. So Marvin Jones, winning championships, top 20 play this week.
Got to love that from Jake on Marvin Jones. Tight ends, we will say hashtag check the link, figure it out for yourself.
One week 16
prediction. What's up?
I said George Kittle might be back.
George Kittle might be back. God, I really hope not. That same team with Jonathan Taylor's got George Kittle and J.K. Dobbins and David Montgomery. I'm really going up against a team that is playing its best football of the season. So for my sake, George, your team's out of it. Just get ready for 2021. But anyways, we're not worried about my sake. We're worried about all your sakes out there. So a week 16 prediction that you would figuratively bet the house on. What is something that's going to happen during championship week? I'll go first here, guys, give you guys some time to think about it. I think this is going to be a crazy scoring week. I think it gets started with Saints and Vikings. It's really the perfect way to end this crazy scoring season. We're going to see a bunch of 38, 35s and 41 to 28. It's just a ton of points going up on the board. I think that in your league, you're going to need to be like one or two standard deviations removed from a good score to win your championship. Like if 140 is typically a winning score in your league, you're going to need like a 160 or something like that this week. Big points going up on the board, both in real life and in fantasy. What do you got, Jake?
I will say Austin Eckler disappointment. Prepare to be in joyous redemption as he finishes the top five this week and takes home a championship for people. And he loves fantasy, so we love him too.
All right, what do you got, Brandon?
I will say two Hail Mary plays that I would bet will deliver. Darnell Mooney with a third straight touchdown and Ito Smith against the Chiefs now as the number one running back in the Falcons backfield.
If there is no better way to end this series for this season than with Darnell Mooney and Ito Smith being pushed into fantasy championship lineups. So we will just call it a show and call it a season for this rankings edition of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. First, Brandon, Jake, Thank you guys for your expertise here every single Wednesday. It has been very fun doing the show with you. So, Brandon, I know you've got nothing to play for this week. Hopefully those one-and-done leagues go well. Jake, hope your championship weeks go well also. And just been a lot of fun, you guys.
Michael, thank you for writing the script every week and making this easy just to wake up on the West Coast at 7:45 and roll over to my microphone and just start talking. So I appreciate it. I wish you happy holidays, my friend.
Yeah, I would say the same. Thanks to you. Hey, thanks for Brandon for being up at 7:45.
Yeah, seriously. You've got it much easier than you have, Brandon. I will write this script forever if I don't have to do it at 7:45 in the morning. So that is just absolutely beautiful. And, of course, want to say thank you to all of you out there who have been listening with us, whether it was 1 week, 10 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever it was. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to us gab on about rankings and other things and victory laps every single week. Obviously, we could not do any of this without you. So thank you very much as well. Just to give you a little heads up, we will have a couple of shows next week, and then we'll be continuing on with a scaled back schedule on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast through the NFL playoffs. We'll just be coming at you a couple times a week, two times a week during this during the NFL playoffs, excuse me, rather than the usual five. We wish you all a very happy, healthy, safe holiday season. Enjoy this weekend. If you are playing for fantasy championships, good luck. Go out there, get that W, get that trophy. For Brandon Funston and Jake Seeley, I'm Michael Beller. Thank you once again for spending this wild 2020 season with us. We'll talk to you all next week. Until then, good luck. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Week 16 action. Cheers.